Welcome again to our study on the book of Isaiah, this most remarkable book, written under the anointing of God by this wonderful man of God, Isaiah, who declares the things that will be as though they are, because as a prophet he sees history passing before his eyes, like God, who sees the past, the present, and the future, as though it had all come to pass. Because God orchestrates all things, and therefore he has the ability to show his prophets the future, and using his prophets to encourage us to know that all things are in the hand of God, and that God brings to pass his purpose. And the greatness of God is expressed in this way, that he can declare the future, and all the forces of evil cannot change what God has indeed declared will come to pass. Now, one of the things that the Word of God speaks of is the fact that we shall all be judged. It speaks of eternal judgment. It speaks of the fact that God will not only judge individuals, but as the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew 25, that when he comes, there will be also the judgment of the nations. And he will divide them as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. The goats, you know, are very interesting. We can say this in English. You know, goats butt. And so often that's what we say. You know, I will do this, I promise to do this, but... And we lay down conditions. Well, you know, a goat really expresses the will of the unregenerate person. You know, I'm going to have my way. And as we said, you know, in our previous showing, we said, you know, that which brought down Lucifer from being son of the morning unto Satan, the deceiver, the rebellious one, was the fact of the five I wills. He said, I will be like the Most High. Whereas Christ said, not my will, but thine be done. And that is the difference, you see, between the two. The vessels of wrath will say, I will do this, I will have my own way. The vessels of glory will say, thy will be done. Well, we come now to chapters 15 and 16, where God, who has been speaking in chapters 13 and 14 concerning the kingdom of Babylon, concerning the city of Babylon, concerning that city of confusion, being, as we have said before, the capital of the Antichrist in the last days. Now the prophet is looking at the other nations that surround Israel. You know, these other nations are very interesting. Their origins are interesting. Even as we saw the origin of Babylon that came from Nimrod, the mighty one who rebelled against the face of God, you know, and produced the city from which all false religions come, witchcraft, sorcery, and the like. Now, we're looking at other nations. And in chapter 15, we find here that he's now speaking of another nation, Moab. Moab and Ammon. Well, what were the origins of these two nations that in actuality form one today, the kingdom of Jordan? They form one with the third nation, Edom. And the kingdom of Jordan is on the east bank of the river Jordan. And that nation, from time immemorial, has been, if I could say this, an adversary of Israel. What was the origin of these nations? Well, Edom, down the south, was indeed from Esau. And Esau was the one who sold his birthright. He was a fornicator. He was a profane person. He was the firstborn, you know, of Isaac and Rebekah, firstborn twin. He should have had the birthright, and yet he sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. You know, there was Jacob, the simple, the plain man, the kind man, the one who was a pious man, who desired the things of God, and here he was making some soup, if I could say that. And here comes Esau. He comes in from the hunting, the forest. He was very, very hungry. And he said, give me some of that soup. And, you know, Jacob said, well, fine, I'll give it to you. You sell me your birthright. And Esau became so profane. He said, well, what good is my birthright to me? I'm about to die. Just because he was hungry. When his God, as Paul said, was his belly. And you know, many of us have got to watch that too, that our stomach doesn't control our life. Well, he sold his birthright. And he sought it back with many tears, but couldn't get it. He had sold it to Jacob. So Jacob became Israel. And so Israel inhabits the land today, which we say is on the west of the River Jordan, towards the Mediterranean Sea, the land that God promised to Abraham and David. Well, there we have Edom. And so he became an enemy of his brother, and his anger burned incessantly, as we're told in the Word of God. His hatred burned against his brother. Well, then we come to the other two nations, Moab and Ammon. From whence did they come? Well, they came from the nephew of Abraham. Abraham was given a commandment by God to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans, which is very near Babylon, the Ur of the Chaldeans, and come up, and God was going to lead him into a land that he would have for an inheritance. But the interesting thing is this, and we've got to watch this in our own lives. You know, Abraham was told to get out from your country, which he did, and get out from your kindred. But he didn't. He indeed took with him Lot, his nephew, his brother's son. And he should never have done that. Because, you see, the call of God was upon Abraham, not upon Lot. And so there has to come the time of separation. And both Abraham and Lot had mighty possessions of cattle, such and herdsmen, such it was contention between the two, because the land could not support all their flocks. And so they decided to separate. And Abraham, who had the promises of God, said to Lot, well, now look, you choose. If you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. He said, you choose. We cannot have this constant contention. We must separate. And so Lot looked with his eyes, and he saw afar away all the pleasant pastures just outside Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he chose with his eyes, without asking God. And so many of us make choices concerning the things that we desire through our eyes. You know, that's where sin came in. Eve looked upon the forbidden fruit, and she looked with her eyes and saw that it was a fruit that would make one wise and to be desired. And so she took the forbidden fruit, gave it to her husband, That's where sin came into the world. Choosing with the lust of the eyes. Well, that's exactly what Lot did. Instead of asking God what he should do and what inheritance God would give him, he chose with his eyes. He said, I'll go down to those pleasant pastures. And so he camped with his tent actually facing Sodom and Gomorrah. But you see, Sodom and Gomorrah were extremely wicked cities in the sight of God. They practiced fornication, they practiced homosexuality, which is an abomination of God. In fact, God forbids man to lie with man as man lies with a woman. God forbids it. It is perverse. Even the animals don't do that. In fact, you know, in the Word of God, what a homosexual is called, he's called a dog. A dog goes to his vomit. Well, Lot camped there. But Lot was a righteous man. And so he constantly reproved these people of their sin. They hated him. And then God heard about all the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, I'm come down to indeed see what is being said is true. And he came down and then he said, well, you know, I cannot go down and judge Sodom and Gomorrah without sharing it with my friend Abraham. And so he told Abraham what he was going to do. And Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet, he said, if there are 50 righteous, you know, and if there are 10 righteous, but he stopped there. There weren't 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, and so God said, I'm going to destroy them. But he sent angels to Lot and said to Lot, you've got to come out. You've got to come out. For God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, get out from them, unless you'll be destroyed with the judgment. Well, Lot tarried, and in the end, the angels had to thrust Lot, his wife, his two daughters, because his other children just mocked him. And they got him out of Sodom and Gomorrah. How reluctant Lot was to leave that city. Well, they got him out, and the angel said, don't look back. Because, you see, if you look back, that's what you desire. Well, Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. And the Lord Jesus Christ used that as a warning to us not to look back, not to look at evil. For, you know, the eyes are the gates of the body. And what comes in there affects the whole of our being. So we've got to be careful what we look at. Well, anyway, this is what happened. His wife became a pillar of stone, pillar of salt, sorry. And the two daughters said, well, look, there's nobody else on earth. We've got to procreate the human race. And so they made their father drunk, and, you know, through incest, they both bore children, Moab and Ammon. And that's where Moab and Ammon came from, you see. And Moab and Ammon with Edom forms now the kingdom of Jordan. And the history of Moab and Ammon and Esau is always anti-Israel. And so we see that God is going to judge the nations. And he will judge, as he says in chapter 15, that he is going to judge Moab. And you know, in other scriptures we shall see later on that when he returns at his second coming, he will tread down Moab, Ammon and Edom, and their whole land will become, as it were, just burnt land, destroyed by judgment, even as Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. like burning pitch. Another description in another chapter of his judgment upon those countries. And so we see that God adds in chapter 16 and chapter 17, you know, concerning the judgments upon these countries. And then he mentions some other countries too. And in particular, in chapter 17, he mentions Syria, Damascus, the capital of Syria. Now, Damascus occurs many times in the history of the nations, and especially with respect to Israel. It was a nation that was constantly a thorn in the sight of Israel, God's people. Damascus was conquered, of course, by David, but in reality, Damascus has been the source of evil throughout its history. Even unto today, Syria is indeed a nation that breeds rebellion, that breeds evil. And it's condemned even today because of its evil doings. Well, here is going to be the judgment that God decrees upon Damascus. It is going to be destroyed. And here we see in chapter 17 that he has the burden of Damascus. And the prophet says, "Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap." A ruinous heap. Well, that has not yet been fulfilled. In fact, if you go to Damascus, they claim that Damascus is one of the oldest cities in the world, and it probably is. But it is a source of evil, like Babylon. And God says, it shall be a ruinous heap. A ruinous heap. And so, you see, today, when we contemplate, you know, the things that are taking place, when we see the nations coming against Israel, you know, we want to look past current events. We want to look into these prophecies of Isaiah and see what is going to become of these nations that breed violence and permit the enemies of Israel to dwell within them. Well, you see, Moab, Ammon, Esau, their land shall be like pitch that burns constantly when the Lord returns. And Damascus, which has been a city of evil and breeding violence and all kinds of criminal activities, well, God said, yes, maybe, but the end of the matter is it's going to be a ruinous heap. You see, and that is where our confidence comes, in eternal judgment. So that when we see these nations raging against God's chosen nation of Israel, and seemingly about to triumph, we can say, well, praise God, we know the end of the matter. And somehow knowledge and wisdom give us stability, give us understanding, give us hope, give us peace. And we're not like other people. You know, when we read the newspaper and we see violence, you know, apparently triumphing, no, we can say, well, we know the end of the matter. God has everything under control. And there's going to be the judgment of the nations. The judgment of the nations. And the judgment is going to be very severe upon those countries that have indeed breeded evil. Well, we move on. And, you know, it's very interesting. chapter 17 finishes with this thought, that all those that forget the Lord they shall have trouble. In the morning and in the evening they are not. And that is a portion of all those that trouble God's people. And you know, it's not only true of the nations, but those people that trouble the church, those people that trouble you. You know, you ask the Lord, what is the end of the matter? You know, I was in a situation many years ago, and I was having so much trouble amongst those with whom I was working. They were constantly attacking me for my Christian values and my beliefs and my witness. And God spoke to me. He said, there will come a time when you will see them no more. And so that burnt within my heart. And so day after day when I saw them and they would attack me, verbally of course, not physically, verbally, you know, I had this burning in my heart. Oh, there's coming a time when you're not going to see them anymore. And it gave me such strength, such confidence, such courage to face them. And this is what God wants to give to you, see. That those that trouble you, yes, they will have trouble. But the time will come when they will be no more. And another scripture God gave me was this: why are you afraid of man who shall be like the grass of the field? In the morning he flourishes, and at night he's no more. So I want to encourage you with that. You know, as we consider the nations and God's judgments. And you know, it's interesting, we come to another nation now, the nation of Ethiopia. And there's quite a lot spoken about the Ethiopians. They were adversaries, truly, of Israel. But also, God speaks in Psalm 68 and verse 31 that they shall stretch out their hands unto God. You know, Haile Selassie, who used to be the emperor of Abyssinia and who was a born-again Christian, he had for his visitors, those who were his guests, he had a special coin made. And on that coin was his effigy on one side, and on the other side was this scripture, Psalm 68, verse 31. Ethiopia shall stretch out her hands unto God. Well, you know, it is interesting how God judges. And so in Acts chapter 8, verse 27, we have Philip, who is sent from a revival in Samaria. He is sent to meet one man. And that man was the eunuch, or the prince, who was the chamberlain, if I could say that, of the Queen Candace's household. And the Ethiopians attribute the coming of Christianity to their country through this man. And so in a very real sense, in chapter 18, you see, we have that thought. Yes, Ethiopia. Ethiopia shall indeed stretch forth her hands to the Lord. She shall be given an opportunity, as she has been given. And I've had the privilege of ministering in Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia. And at the time we went there, there was a tremendous revival. I was told that the emperor's granddaughter was a missionary in her own country. And certainly the gospel, you know, was spreading throughout Ethiopia. But of course, you know, the Ethiopians have indeed turned against God, you know, in the majority, and judgment will await them when the Lord returns. In fact, the suggestion is in Daniel that they might well, as a nation, you know, go with the Antichrist. So nations have opportunities. They have opportunities to serve God. There's a period when the Spirit of God is poured out. They have this wonderful privilege of having the gospel in New Testament times come down to them through the chamberlain of the Queen. And they had that Christian emperor, Haile Selassie, who indeed, you know, was a recipient of Bible after Bible, because when guests came to him, they always brought a Bible. He smiled, you know, very graciously, took the Bible and put it with the rest of his Bibles he received from his guests, because everybody recognized that this man was a Christian. And under him, the gospel, you know, was propagated throughout the land. But then forces of evil came up, and the nation has undoubtedly turned against God. And for that, it will be judged, and it seems that it will go with the Antichrist. Now, in closing this session, I want you to consider, you know, how important it is to realize that God will indeed require those things of the past. God will judge us. There's no question about it whatsoever. He will judge the nations. He will judge us as individuals. And the whole purpose behind this lesson today is to plead with you to turn to God with all your heart, that you will be amongst the righteous ones in the day when he arises to judge. So the opportunities that you're getting now to receive Christ, may you accept. Some accept and then reject, like the Ethiopians, but may you receive Christ and walk faithfully with him and be a faithful witness for him. And in so doing, when he arises in judgment, he will say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And may that be your eternal reward.